Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Oh, many of you. Awesome. I don't know if you know this or not, but Niagara Falls is actually the oldest state park in the United States. It became a state park in 1885. That's pretty cool if you think about it. 1885. And in 1848, the falls and the water, the Niagara River that falls into the Niagara Falls, literally started to become a power source. Now, there's three ways that you can experience Niagara Falls. Close, closer, and closest. Right? In fact, which is really kind of funny, I didn't even realize this as I started working on my message. My mom right now is in Niagara Falls. Not literally in it, like she's in a bucket about to go over or anything, but she's at Niagara Falls. Maybe that's a better way to say that. And so I know that she probably stayed in a hotel close to Niagara Falls that maybe looked something like this. See, a lot of the hotels at Niagara Falls, they have these big windows that you can look out onto the falls. I looked at some pictures of hotel rooms, and I literally thought that they were fake. I'm still not convinced that they were real. But I do know that this is actually a real shot looking out of a window in one of the hotels at Niagara Falls. This is one way that you can experience Niagara Falls, close. You can go up and you can be in your room and you can look out the windows and you can see the water and down below. You can maybe hear it a little bit. But if you get closer, then you go to the park. See, the second way that you can experience the falls is getting closer. It's going down, getting out of your hotel room, going to the park. And when you get to the park, all of a sudden now you can hear the thunderous wave. You can hear the water thundering through. You can hear it falling as it goes down and hits the space below. You actually can not only hear it, but you can see the power of the water. And if you stand close enough to the railing, you'll get a little bit of a mist that comes up off of the falls that will, you know, start to kind of coat you a little bit. And maybe over time you might get wet, if you will, but the likelihood is you're not going to get very wet by being in the park area. But you're still not the closest that you could to experience the falls. If you want to get real close, then you don the blue poncho and you get on the boat, which everybody hopefully has experienced, called the Maid in the Mist. If you know anything about the Maid in the Mist, you do not get misted on the Maid in the Mist. You get drenched. But Maid in the Drenched is probably not as marketable as Maid in the Mist. But literally, think about what these people do. They get onto a tiny boat. I mean, now, if you look at the size of the falls, and there's rocks below, right? There's rocks below. And they get on this tiny boat, and the boat goes upstream, chugging along, and everybody on the boat's wearing blue ponchos, and they're loving it, and you get the blue poncho picture. You know, it's like, the hair's in the face, you know what I mean? Because you're pulling up to one of the seven wonders of the world. You're driving up to Niagara Falls. I mean, realizing that the water falls at 32 feet per second over the falls, and it hits the base of the falls with 280 tons of force. The water coming, cascading over Niagara Falls, if you were to stand underneath of it, would be enough to crush you. That's how much power is involved. So the crazy thing is you can really kind of get close in the hotel room. You can get closer by going down to the park, or you can jump on the boat and you can ride right up to the base of the falls. Now, it's kind of like that if you think about our prayer lives. Our prayer lives are very similar because when we're close to God, we see God, we behold his majesty, we see what God could do, and we maybe even see what he does through others, because when you're in the hotel room of your heart, you're looking down and you can see those people that are in the boat and they're pulling up to the falls and you can see that they're getting drenched, but you are in the 12th floor of your hotel looking at people getting drenched. You, in thinking about that, if you go another step further, maybe you get a little closer and you go to the park of your heart. And then when you're in the park of your heart, now you can see what God is doing and you can also hear. I love the fact that Pastor Tony had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. Maybe you had a little bit, but I don't think it made a difference on what he said. But he said to us that when we draw closer to God, it changes our senses. We can hear things better. We can see things better. Folks, that's true. You can discern better in your life when you're closer to God. And so even when you're close in your park, you might get misted, right? You might get a little bit of that overcast that comes over, and over time, maybe, just maybe, you'll get wet by his presence. But there's still another step. There's still one more step that you can take. You can get even closer. So people who are at that stage where they want to get the closest that they could get, they refuse just to take in the view. You know, because if you think about it, when you're even in the park, right, distracted. That was the word. Thank you. You get distracted by the souvenir shop. You know, when you're in the park, you've got this incredible natural wonder that's happening before you, and all of a sudden you're like, t-shirts, you know what I mean? And it's the same way when you're praying. You start to pray and you're like, dear Lord, this is going to be an incredible time of prayer. Yes, I need milk and orange juice. Oh, got to write that down, right? Okay, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Okay, dear Lord, and I pray for my family, Lord. I pray that they know you. And speaking of family, my mother-in-law is in town. So, Lord, I pray that we get the house cleaned on time. And Jesus, would you be with my vacuum cleaner? Don't let it fail. And wait a minute, right? You see, because we have a desire to draw closer, but the truth is we sometimes get distracted, don't we? That's why if we go to the place where we want to get the closest, we put on the blue poncho, we get in the boat, we drive right up to the falls, right? We drive right up to the power of God, and then we are not going to be misted by the Spirit of God. We're going to be drenched by his glory. Drenched by his glory. We're going to have the pictures, right? When all of a sudden we're taking a selfie with Jesus and our hair is all matted across our face and we've got a blue poncho on. We're like, get this thing off of me. I want the full effect, right? I mean, that's my heart for you. That's my desire. But here's the truth and the reality about prayer. God can't pray for you. He can't pray for you, but he can pray in you and with you. Now, I know what you're probably saying. What do you mean? God can't pray for me. God prays. No, God is already at work. God is already at work. He desires for us to have a deep relationship with him, and it's only through our relationship with Christ that we can even approach the throne of grace with confidence. We need Jesus. Jesus is our intercessor. When we talk about intercessory prayer, we stand in the gap on behalf of those who maybe don't have the power or the voice to be able to stand in the gap or to be able to approach Christ. But we get a chance to do that, and so we stand in the gap and we intercede. Well, guess what? That's the same posture that Jesus has. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. If we were to stand in front of a holy God, guess what would happen? Right? We would die. Because God can't come into contact with sinful creatures like us. That's why we need Jesus. So Jesus intercedes on our behalf. So the amazing thing is, we can when we think about the power of that rushing water that's coming through, and we relate that to our prayer lives, I just have a question for you. What does your prayer life look like? If you had to put that image together, does it look like this? This is the American side of the falls. And do you realize that twice Niagara Falls was shut off? I know what you're thinking. You're like, wait a minute. They didn't teach me that in history class. No, they didn't. Because in 1848, Niagara Falls was completely shut off. Both the Horseshoe Falls, the Bridal Falls, and the American Falls. Completely bone dry in 1848. The second time is the picture that you see here is 1969. In 1969, the Army Corps of Engineers dammed up the water up on the north side of the American side, and they wanted to do a geological survey of the rocks below. So they literally shut Niagara Falls off, at least the American side. The Horseshoe and the Canadian side was still flowing. And I know we're, you know, so, but when we think about our prayer lives, which one describes you this morning? If the water in the analogy that I'm sharing with you represents the power of prayer and prayer happening in your life, does it look like a mighty rushing river? Is it powerful? Does it make a difference in the lives of those around you? Is it making a difference in your life? Are you praying to seek God and to see change happening in your life? Or is it more relegated to a trickle? You see, in 1848, when Niagara Falls literally turned off, people got really, really scared. They had no idea what happened. They were, one day a farmer walked out and he didn't hear the sound of the waves. He didn't hear the sound of the falls. It's so common out over there that when you walk out, you can hear it. He didn't hear it anymore. And people, actually, literally a revival broke out in upstate New York and in Canada. Revivalists came in and they brought in thousands of people flooded to the church because they thought it was an apocalyptic sign. How can this natural wonder of God all of a sudden go bone dry? What they didn't realize was that on the northern side of Lake Erie, ice damming occurred, and literally the wind had blown this ice rock or ice formation down, and it clogged up the water. So people were literally walking across where the river used to flow. They were picking up souvenirs, actually bayonets and tomahawks and different things that they were finding in the riverbed. And they were taking their life in their own hands because nobody knew when God was going to turn the water back on. Because God turned it off, right? At least that's what they had in their mind. They had no idea. So Buffalo, New York, which was a day's journey from Niagara, came out and they finally said, hey, the reason why the water is not flowing is because of ice damming north of here. So when we look at that and we think about that, there were mills that were positioned along the Niagara River. In fact, check this picture out. This is from 1948. These were the mills on the American side that were perched up next to the falls. And this is kind of crazy if you think about this. The reason why you can see it looks like water's coming out of the side of the cliff, and actually they would build their factories on top of the water and they would filter the water through their facilities, and there were water wheels that would catch the water and it would supply power for the factories. Now picture your life like a factory sitting on the side of the river. How much water is flowing through you? How much power is your prayer life? How much power is being created in you? I mean, if we think about it, the point is no water, no power. No water, no power. If there's no water, the water wheel won't turn. If the water wheel doesn't turn, then it doesn't get power. Folks, it's the same thing with your prayer life. No prayer, no power. Y'all tracking with me, right? No prayer, no power. If there's no prayer, then how do you anticipate that God's going to move? Granted, God is a miraculous God, and God can move in spite of you, or he can move in support of you. I'd rather him move in support of me versus in spite of me. So God can move either way, but the truth and the reality is we get to partner with the God of the universe and pray. And guess what? God can handle all of our prayers. The good ones, the bad ones, the ugly ones, the ones where you spend more time groaning. I love the fact that sometimes we don't even have to utter a word to God. We just literally, our hearts are aching so hard inside of us. Our body literally shakes and groans and we can't even utter a word. Or maybe we're so mad and so angry at God that we can't even say anything. Well, guess what? We have an advocate in the Holy Spirit who groans on behalf of us and understands our groanings. That's what the scripture tells us. I love the fact in Ephesians 3, and I'm winding down. I'm coming down. Here we go. We're going to land the plane. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to be able to do it. I apologize. Ephesians 3, this is awesome when we look at this. Verses 14 through 19, when I think of all of this, let me just tell you contextually real quick what this is. This, what Paul is referring to, is actually verse 12 in chapter 3, just a few verses before that. This is what verse 12 reads. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. That's the this that he's referring to here in verse 14. When I think of that, is what Paul's saying. When I think of that, look at what it does to him. I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. So we know from Paul's posture of prayer that the presence of God will draw us where? To our knees. The presence of God will draw us to our knees. The creator of everything in heaven and on earth, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Let's read verse 18 together. I'm sorry, 16 together. Let's read verse 16 together. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. His glorious, unlimited resources. Not your glorious, unlimited resources. You ain't got any. It's his glorious, unlimited resources. His water over the Niagara Falls. Here's the thing. The falls never stop. Well, I mean, except for twice. And if they do, we're all going to rush to church, right? But the reality is, it's unlimited. It just flows and it flows and it flows. Here's something that you may not know about Niagara Falls. It's as deep as it is high. So over in the Bridal Falls or the Horseshoe Falls, when the water falls and you see it go down and you wonder to yourself, how in the world does it not fill up with water? I mean, there's so much water going over the edge. And you look and it's going to this tiny little space. Well, the reality is that water has to go somewhere. Over time, it actually has dug in, it's dug itself so deep, it's as deep as it is high. Oof, that'll preach. Our prayer lives have the opportunity to allow God's holy presence to dig down in us. And we don't become a people that are an inch deep and a mile wide. We become a people that are heart deep in our relationship with Christ. And we go to him and we anticipate and pray for the power, the unlimited power that only he can provide. That's what we get to do. So then Christ will make his home in our hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as God's people should. Listen to this. Say this with me. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. How deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Aren't you glad to know that it's okay not to understand the fullness of God? Stop trying. Stop trying. We can't. We can't. It's like trying to put the entire ocean into a coffee mug. Well, this isn't gonna fit, right? You can't fully understand, but Paul here is giving us permission. You're not gonna fully get it. You're not gonna fully grasp it. God is so other that you're not gonna get it, and that's okay. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. The power that comes from God. There is a direction and a destination. Prayer goes up, power comes down. Y'all tracking? Say it with me. Prayer goes up, power comes down. Say it one more time. Prayer goes up, power comes down. That's how this works. Prayer goes up, power comes down. No water, no power. No prayer, no power. It's just, is your prayer life represented by the falls and you see the majesty and the glory and the cascading water and the power? Or is it down to a trickle? I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you. I'm not beating you up this morning. Because here's the greatest thing that I know about God. He is full of grace. And if you've recognized this morning that your falls probably look like more like 1969, right? Maybe for some of you that means something completely different, right? But maybe you recognize that the falls are down to a trickle. Here's the thing. You have a God who loves you. And know, though, you can't fully comprehend how deep, how wide, how long, and how high that love is. He desires for you to start letting the water flow. Start praying start igniting that passion of prayer. And I will tell you, folks, James 5:16, it's truth for us this morning. Prayer, the prayer of a righteous person, is powerful and effective. It's powerful and effective. And the cool thing is even though we understand that to be singular, the prayer of a righteous person, we can also understand that corporately, the prayer of a righteous people, the prayer of a righteous church. Don't get hung up on the word righteous. Don't get hung up on the word righteous. It's helping us to understand that we need to continue to go deeper in our, and deeper and deeper in our relationship with God, because when we go deeper, guess what? He fills us more and more. The deeper you go in your relationship with God, the more opportunity he has to fill you with his presence. Y'all, the Holy Spirit's taken over. I don't have any of this. I could close this right now. Because it's truth. It's truth. The deeper we go in our relationship with God, the more opportunity there is to fill us. To fill us. That's the beautiful part of this. James 4:8 says, when we talked about the analogy of getting close, closer, or closest with God, when we look at James 4:8, it really helps us to understand, come close to God and he will come close to you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. He does not desire for you to stay where you feel you are. He doesn't desire for you to stay there. He desires that, like I said this a few weeks ago, if you take a step, he takes 10. If you take a step, he takes 10. When you start to dig deeper in your relationship with Christ, he begins to fill that spot. So as we close this morning, I just want to reiterate for you the opportunity that we have. These prayer journals, these are not just cute things that we want people to potentially do. We want to call the church to prayer. Because here's the truth. The one key thing that we want to see happen through our prayer series is that God will ignite a passion of prayer in you, for you, and with you, but also a passion for praying for those around you. We recognize the only ability that we're going to have to be able to continue to make a dent for his kingdom is going to be for us to unite together, to join arms, and to pray for one another, and to pray for those around us. If you have a need in prayer, the most powerful thing that you can do is to share that need with the person next to you and to have them pray with you. Scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in agreement in my name, there I am. When you share that prayer request with the person next to you and you say, hey, listen, I've got a loved one, I've got a friend, I've got a son, I've got a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, I've got a roommate, I've got a friend at school, I've got somebody in my life who needs Jesus, would you pray with me? The two of you coming together, you are the most powerful place in the known universe, because that is the place where God is, in agreement, and you begin to pray. And it doesn't mean, as Lucy said this morning, that all of a sudden everything is going to go perfectly well. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to put the throttle on, because the made in the mist, there are times when the water gets so torrent that it has to keep going harder and harder, and it's going upstream. There are times in our prayer life where we're going to feel like we're moving upstream. It doesn't mean it's all going to be sunshine and kisses. But I'll tell you what, you will know the moment that you have a powerful, prayerful breakthrough. When God breaks in and does what you can't. And you'll know it. As we close our service with communion, I really want to encourage you as the body of Christ. In fact, I don't want to encourage you. I'm going to tell you this as your pastor. I need you to pray with us. This is a desperate cry to you to join with me. Even if anything, if you don't go through it, I'll tell you what, this is awesome stuff. This is awesome stuff. This is great thing. If you follow this each day, I can guarantee you, you'll go deeper in your relationship with Christ. And we know when we go deeper, he fills us more. Amen? I can tell you that you will, because his word never returns void. But even if you just looked at the front, and each day there's a theme. Mondays, we pray for our witness as Christians. And on each Monday, I give you another prayer theme. So like on Monday, March 6th, which is tomorrow, I want you to pray for your coworkers. Specifically pray for your coworkers. Can you imagine if all of us started praying for our coworkers? All of a sudden, you see people start coming to Jesus in your workplace. And all of a sudden, you start transforming your workplace, and not because you're beating them up, but because you're praying for them. Right? And so on Tuesdays, I want you to pray for your family. It's a specific opportunity for you to pray for your family. I give you different areas and different things that you can pray for through your family and for your family. On Wednesdays, praying for those in need. We need to become a church that takes serious the call to care for widows and orphans, and to take serious the call of what it means to care for the poor and the afflicted and those who don't have a voice. We need to be interceding on their behalf, and that's what we get to do on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, we're going to pray for our nation and our world. We're going to lift our nation up in prayer. I'm going to give you specific tools that you can pray for on Thursdays to pray for your nation and pray for your world. And then on Friday, I want you to pray for your neighbors and your community and your schools. See, this is to help you to get into a prayer rhythm. This is something that we're going to do over the next 40 days of Lent. But my hope is that this is going to expand so much further past. And you're going to start to get into a daily prayer rhythm. And all of a sudden, you're not going to need a book. And you're going to go, wow, it's Monday. I need to pray for my witness as Christians. I need to pray for my church on Saturdays. That's what we do. We pray for the church. You know why we're going to pray for the church on Saturdays? Because Sunday's coming. Because we have an opportunity to make a dent for God and his kingdom. And can you imagine if everybody in this church was praying on Saturday and Saturday night, Lord, do something, show up. Do something radical, do something amazing, do something powerful that we can't do on our own. We want to see your glory. God, show us your glory. And we're praying that on Saturday for Sunday. We're going to come here and we're going to have to blow this entire place up because we're not going to be able to keep the people. We're not going to know where to put them. We're going to have people in closets and all over the place. Because we're going to be a faith community that's going to take serious the call to get on our knees and to understand that it's unlimited, God's unlimited and glorious power is available to us. It's available to you. You can tap into it. You got a plug, and God's the outlet. And literally, if you were a millimeter away from the plug, is that going to make a difference towards power? No. You got to put that plug, and you got to put it into the power. And when you do, it's unlimited, it's glorious, and it's yours. It's yours. So I encourage you. I want to go broke as a church because we have to print so many of these that we got to take a special offering. Right? Y'all crazy. Cindy's like, Pastor, careful. Careful. She's the chair of our finance committee. But I'm serious. We got, you know, I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'm going to ask for the families that are going to help us to disperse the communion to our ushers to come, but I think this is an awesome opportunity for us to pray and really seek God in this moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we want to be a deep people. We want to be a people that recognizes that as we go deeper and deeper in our relationship, you begin to fill the void within us. You want to take the places that have been filled by other things, and you want to create within us a clean heart. Lord, one of the most desperate prayers that we can pray right now is, search me, O God. Find any wicked way in me. Start with that. Uproot that in me. Lord, purify me from all unrighteousness, because only you, Lord, can do it. Lord, as we've heard about this really awesome analogy about drawing close and closer and closest, Lord, help us to put that into practice in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be in communion with you, to recognize that we can stand at a distance and we can see and experience, or we can go down a step closer and then start to really experience an even deeper level. But Lord, we want to be a poncho people. Lord, we want to put on the poncho. We want to get on the boat. We want to drive right up to the falls, Lord, of your power. And we want to experience. We don't want to be misted by your glory. We want to be drenched by your presence. Lord, I pray right now for us as we go into a time of communion. Jesus, I ask that you would help us to recognize the symbolism of this moment, to know that if our children, Lord, have come to that saving knowledge of Christ and they've trusted you to be in their heart, as it says in Ephesians 3, then, Lord, I pray that parents would celebrate that this morning. And so, Lord, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for what you are doing in and through us and for the power of prayer in our church, in our lives, in our families, in our nation, in our world, in our communities. And Lord, we just pray this now in your name. Amen.